book of Psalms 103. This is another message that is pretty much basic, something that we know, something that we know we should do, something that we do at times, some more than others, but we become, as we do in a lot of things that we hold dear and believe and practice for years, it's so easy to become complacent. It's so easy for our hearts to become seared. And do you remember a time when walking into the church just brought you a joy? I mean, you just came in here, man, and you were just ready to worship the minute you come into church. I know this is a building, but this is where God's chosen to meet with us. And there's a sweet spirit in this place, and we come in, and there's just something about it. And man, we're ready to praise the Lord. We're ready to worship. But we have a tendency to become complacent about that and just walk in, sit down, go through the motions, and walk out and not think about it again the rest of the week. Wouldn't it be grand if we were so encouraged in the meeting, if we were so lifted up in worshiping our great God and Savior, that when we went out, it carried us out for the whole week. We didn't forget the message. We were singing the songs, and we were taking opportunity to honor the Lord and show Him how much we loved Him. That's the way we say thank you to God. It's easy just to say thank you. It's words. We say it all the time. Our kids, they get a gift. Have you ever thought or saw one of your children or somebody, one of the kids you know, and they wanted a gift so badly, but they had no clue they were going to get it? And you gave them that gift. And when they opened that gift, it was like they opened up $1 trillion. They didn't even get it all the way open, and they started jumping and shouting, and man, and thank you, thank you, thank you for that gift. That's the way we should feel. Somebody shouldn't have to tell us to say thank you. We can't make each other say thank you. If it doesn't come from the heart, we can tell you to say it, but we can't make you to be thankful. You can't make me be thankful. Only God can do that. And He does that through the preaching of His Word, the study of His Word, fellowshipping around God's people, appreciating and recognizing the things that God does and what He's given us, both temporary things, tangible things that we are more aware of, but then things that we're not really so aware that He's given us every day. And we need to look for those things. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. It's hard to be sad. It's hard to be discouraged and unsatisfied when you count your blessings and you start really naming what God has done. And it helps you to be thankful. And we're not as much as we ought to be. We're an ungrateful people. We're spoiled. Americans are spoiled especially. We have so much. Our life is a life of ease. We really do without very little. We think of Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That right there is enough to be thankful for, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. That's wonderful. I shall not want. Now, we understand that means I shall not lack, because we want. We always want something. And it's not necessarily wrong to want. It's according to where you put that in your list of priorities. So I want to encourage us in the message, if God will allow, for us all to examine ourselves, much like we examine ourselves about how we love God, is how we're demonstrating our thankfulness to God. I mean, just today, I mean, already we've just got just so much to be thankful for. Number one, we arrived here safely. There's people who were on their way to church today that probably didn't make it. People got sick. People had an accident. If I know we don't believe in accidents, but you know what I mean. Something happened that hindered them from getting there. Maybe they've got a chronic illness and they can't come to church. But we were able to be here. The Lord protected us and guided us safely to assemble here. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? and the services and the food and the singing and just being a member of one of the Lord's churches. What a blessing to be a member of one of God's churches. Everybody's not given that. You know, we forget sometimes the Lord adds to the church. I don't know why he added me, but he did. Aren't you thankful he added you to one of his churches where the truth is held and preached and promoted? So there's a lot to be thankful for besides tangible things. And I want to encourage us to inventory our lives. Be more thankful to God. That's a form of worship, as we're going to see here in the Psalms. It's a form of worship to God, and he wants to be worshiped. He demands to be worshiped, and I don't think we really know what worship is anymore. I've done a series at our church, and I'm an adult Sunday school teacher, and I've done a series on worship, and it's taken me a long time. I'm surprised how much time I've been into it. But there's a lot of people who think they know how to worship the Lord. A lot of churches are making an attempt to worship the Lord, but they're worshiping the Lord according to the dictates of the world, what the world accepts, not what is scriptural, worshiping in spirit and in truth. But thank you, thanksgiving, thankfulness is a form of worship. And we ought to worship him. We ought to exalt him. We ought to lift him up and adore him and hold his majesty before us. And it would humble us and it would cause us to be satisfied. How many of you are satisfied today? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm satisfied after that meal. I don't think I could eat. I didn't even eat dessert. I'm satisfied right now. But in an hour, it's kind of like Chinese food. I'll be ready to eat again, you know. We don't stay satisfied very long, do we? But we've got so much to draw on, to fill us, to have that satisfaction all the time that would cause us to thank him all the time. Psalm 103, in my Bible, is entitled The Benefits of the Lord. You all know what benefits are. If you work in a shop, a job of some type, office, usually you get a job and they have a salary. That's what you're usually the most interested in, used to be most interested in how much money you're going to get. And then you wanted to know about health insurance and vision insurance and dental insurance. You wanted to know if you were going to get paid vacation and sick leave, company car, you know, key to the restroom, that kind of stuff. Those are benefits that you get. And we all enjoy benefits. We like to get benefits. Some jobs have a lot of benefits. And benefits in some degree today outweigh the salary. Because you can have a good salary, but if you don't get good health insurance, that's going to eat up your salary. You know, so those benefits weigh as much as the salary does. You don't have to look at just the money. Well, the Lord has loaded us down daily with benefits. I mean, he just heaps them on. We got so many reasons to be thankful. He says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." That word bless is taken from the root of thanks, of giving thanks. Praise and praising him. They're all in the same category. When you bless the Lord, you're thanking him. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget the benefits that the Lord's given. Maybe you're not getting what you think you should today, what you want today. But if you stop and consider the past, you realize that God's given you so much. We can go through all kinds of lists. Family, jobs, possessions, finances. Maybe it's not all great today, but what about the past? And we're not sure about the future because the Lord has something in store. Thank him for all his benefits. Verse 3 says, here's one of the benefits, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." These are those things that aren't tangible, we don't hold on to. They're not like a keys to a car or a cell phone or whatever. These are things that are even greater. Because these other things, cars and phones and possessions, they're temporary. They're going to fade away. Moth and rust is going to corrode them. Thieves are going to break through and steal. But your health and the forgiveness of sins, that word forgiveness here only applies here to God and his complete forgiveness. not only of your present sins, your past sins, but he's forgiven us our future sins through Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't give us a license to go out and sin. And if you want to go out and sin, you might want to check your salvation. People say, well, if I believe like you do, I'd go out and sin all I wanted. I tell them, I sin more than I want to now. We don't want to sin. But if I do, because of the flesh, he's going to forgive me for that too. The blood of Jesus Christ. Iniquities is the gross, immoral, ungodly sins. The terrible things that we've done, that we thought, he forgives us for those. He not only forgives us for the actions that we commit, but he forgives us for the omissions, the things that we don't do for him. That's a sin. If you don't do what God's commanded us to do, that's a sin to him. And he forgives us of those. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. His mercies are new every day, Lamentations 3 says. We don't get leftover mercies. Isn't that great? He gives us brand new mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. All of that's of God. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? That God's mercy. If God took me to the woodshed as much as I deserve to go, I'd be a sore little man. But he's merciful. One of the greatest attributes of God to me is his long suffering. Don't you love his long suffering? He's long suffering and kind to us. He's not quick to pour out his wrath upon us. Don't be fooled. You're going to reap what you sow. The Lord chastens those that he loves, Hebrews tells us. But he's long suffering in it. That's something to be thankful for. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. Satisfies. He satisfies us. When the Lord works in our lives and we're aware of his working in our lives, we know that he's working, we feel him working in our lives, we're satisfied. There's a great feeling in being satisfied, not wanting. When you're wanting all the time, when you're coveting all the time, be content with what you have, Paul says. When you're just always wanting something else, you're never comfortable. You never really have peace. Covetousness is one of the peace robbers. God gives us peace. We have peace with God and we have the peace of God. And that peace passes all understanding. We can be at peace, not without conflict, but in the very midst of conflict. In the very midst of heartache, in the very midst of sorrow, loss of loved ones, and all these things, we can be going through those, and we can still be at peace when we have the peace of God. God gives that to us. But it can be robbed from us by things like covetousness. When we're covet, we're never satisfied. We don't have peace. We always want something else, something more, something bigger, something better. I'm not saying those things are bad in themselves. But things that are good can become bad if you take them out of where they should be and they become your God. And you begin to idolize those and begin to desire those at the expense of working 7 days a week instead of coming to church. That's when those things that aren't bad that you're trying to get, but they come bad because you're sacrificing faithfulness to God to get it. So we need to be conscious of whether or not we're at peace and whether or not we're satisfied. And when we are, we ought to be thankful. Thankful to God for that. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. You notice the word daily there? Daily. What happened to the children of Israel when they were journeying through the wilderness? God gave them manna. When did he give it to them? Daily. He daily gave them manna. After a while, though, what did the children of Israel do? They murmured and complained and grumbled because they wanted meat. They wanted quail. They wanted something else. Isn't that the way we are? We have an abundance of things. We have blessings. We have what we need to survive, food, clothing, shelter, but we want something else. We're not satisfied. No. God daily loads us. Give us our daily bread, the model prayer says. We pray and ask God for what we need today. We'll just misuse it and abuse it and lose it if we get too much at one time, like the children of Israel. They gathered more than they should, and what happened? It became filled with wormwood and rotted, and they didn't have it because of greed and covetousness. Psalms 116, verse 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Now, what can we? What can we give God who has everything? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the hills. He owns all of the universe. He owns us. What can we give him that pleases him, that he enjoys receiving from us? Well, Ephesians tells us, 5:20, give thanks always. That's what pleases God, for us to be grateful children, to recognize we have this. You go over and read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, I think it is, 10 through 14, and then in chapter 8, verse 17 through the rest of the chapter, it talks about the children of Israel, and they're journeying through the wilderness and have come into the promised land. And Moses is instructing the children of Israel, when you enter into the promised land and you have houses that are stocked that you didn't build, you have vineyards planted and producing fruit that you didn't plant, you have wells with water that you didn't dig, and you enjoy all of this abundance that God's given you, when you enter into the land, forget not where you got that from. That's what we do. Instead of going into the land and saying thank you, they forgot. They didn't get that by the power of their might. God said, I gave you the power to get that. Even when you go to work, you say, well, I got a job. I make good money. I buy my groceries. You got the health to go to work from who? From God, right? So we ought to be thankful for all things, always, in everything. We ought to be thankful. You say, well, that's hard to do. Yes, it is. It's like rejoicing always. That's hard to do. And we can't do it within ourselves, but we can do it in God. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We just need him. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit in our heart, in the sense that it's taking over us and it's getting rid of that covetousness and that dissatisfaction and the grumbling and the murmuring. Give thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's by the authority, by his power, we can do that. Give thanks always. That kind of sounds a little bit like Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Isn't it? How does all things work together for good? Have you experienced something that you wouldn't consider to be good? That didn't work together good for me? Well, it did. You may not understand it, but God uses those things for a purpose. The godly, the Bible says, the godly are going to suffer persecution. Those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And you will, if you're living godly. But by that persecution, you will be drawn closer to God. And people will see your example. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When you go through those things and they see you endure them and bear up with them and persist in them, then they glorify God for what he's done for you. God receives thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, not only all the time, but in everything, give thanks. For this is what? You ever want to know what the will of God is? How many times has somebody asked you, I wish I knew what the will of God was for my life. Well, here's one of them. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's for us to give thanks. This is the will of God, and he says, in Christ Jesus concerning you. For me, for each one of us, is to be thankful always, all the time, in everything to God. Even the hard times. I told Brother Titus today, I heard a saying a long time ago about somebody who went through a trial. And he was praying, and he made this comment, "I don't understand, God, what you're doing. Why are you doing this to me? And God, I'm going to be honest, I don't like it." But then he said, "But Father, give me the grace to accept it." We don't always understand what God's doing. We don't always like what God's doing. But if you don't learn to accept it, you'll never be happy. You'll never be content. You'll never be joyful. You'll never be able to say, "Thank you, Lord," if you don't accept what he's doing. I've been through things that I had a hard time thanking the Lord for. But nevertheless, it's true. I need to thank him in all things, all the time. And you can't find peace if you don't. Being thankful can't be forced. We can't make anyone, we can't make our children do it out of love and out of respect. We can say, "What are you supposed to say?" "Thank you." "Well, yeah, that's really good, right?" Wouldn't you much rather when they get a gift, they say, "Oh, thank you so much." Well, that's what God wants to hear. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." But you know the little kid song, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole." Go around during the day and sing that. "Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free." If you don't have anything else, if you're in poverty, and I know you're not, but if you were in poverty, if your health was poor, you didn't have a bank account, a 401k, you didn't have a new car, you didn't have the latest update of a smartphone, and if you don't buy it today, you wouldn't have the latest anyways. If you don't have any of that and you've got salvation, thank you, Lord. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing. But if you have the Lord and you're saved, you've got everything. One day you'll be able to stand before that Lord and know him personally and be able to thank him personally. We ought to be thankful because there's so much to be thankful for. And we ought to be thankful all the time because it's so easy to lose the attitude of gratitude. It should be an attitude. It shouldn't be a one time of a year event. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. And I love it even more after that meal. I just love this time of the year. But we could be thankful every day, not just today. We always have a reason to be thankful. But we can lose that attitude of thankfulness. And, of course, covetousness is one of the things that will rob us of it. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, begin reading verse 1. The writer Paul is speaking here. And I know this is a pastoral epistle. Primarily it's written to pastors because pastors are going to have to deal with these situations and in their flock that the Lord leads them over to. But its secondary application is all of us. We can apply these same principles to our lives. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." That word perilous means dangerous. Dangerous times are coming. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." What's the next one? Unthankful. It's listed with these other things. That attitude of being unthankful to God and to anybody, really. Not having an attitude of gratitude toward people. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fearers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Does that sound like today? Could this be the last days? This could be the last times. The Lord could come back any minute. We're going to stand before him and answer for our attitude of gratefulness, as well as other things. We need to cultivate that attitude of thankfulness. It should be on our lips all the time when someone does something for us, not just a fleeting thank you, but I mean a deep, oh, thank you so much, I appreciate it. You don't know what that means to me. But don't repeat that just to repeat it. Muster it up in your heart of being thankful for what people are doing for you, grateful for what people are doing for you, having a form of godliness but denying the power therein. From such, turn away. We're so blessed by God. He daily loadeth, as we read before. He benefits things that we don't take for granted. Our daily breath. Every breath we have comes from God. Amen. I mean, I know we hear that and we think that's silly, but anytime God wants to, he can turn off that breath. There's a time appointed unto men once to die. That's scary. But what's scarier to me is after that, the judgment. If we stand at the Bema seat, we that are saved, and we have to give answer for the life that we have in Christ once we're saved, we're not going to stand there and be judged for our sins. Christ was judged for our sins on the cross of Calvary. But we're going to be judged for our deeds, for our actions, the things that we should have been doing for the Lord. Those things are going to come about on us. Some people, and you probably know some of these people in this class, they grumble about everything. I mean, they could have a brand new car and they grumble. They could have the newest phone, the newest computer, the newest smartwatch, and they grumble. They complain. They can have a cold and they grumble. You know, we have pity parties. I have a right to. I don't have a wife to baby me anymore, so I have to grumble a little bit. Try to get attention from my kids and people at church. But we find stuff to grumble about. It's just as easy to find something to be thankful for. You know, I'm here. I'm trying to develop a different way because people are very, I love the people. They love me. I don't know why. But they always ask me how I'm doing, you know, how's my day going. And, I don't want to say what I'm really going through because I feel like I'm grumbling all the time. And I'm trying to think of something to say, and so I've come up with this right now. I'm saved and going to heaven. Can't get better than that. Be positive. I mean, I'm going to heaven. I mean, can you imagine? Say that to yourself. I'm going to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thought? No matter what the world does to you, no matter what they take from you, you've got a home in heaven forever and ever. Where there's none of those things that are wicked and ungodly and unholy. What a beautiful place it must be. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. The sweet home of the saved and the free. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for going back and preparing a home for me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, guess what? I'm going to come back and get you. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Don't be troubled. Don't be worried. Be thankful. You have a home in heaven. Some people don't complain, but they don't show any gratitude either. I mean, they just go about. I've noticed in some of my family, I've noticed that sometimes they have a hard time being grateful. It's almost like they're embarrassed to get something. You ever know people like that? I don't think it's because they're unthankful. They just don't really, you know, they don't know how to express it. They don't feel worthy of what they're getting. But they never say thank you. They never grumble. But then there's some people that are so thankful all the time. Any little thing you do for them, they express gratitude to you in some way. May not be in words. Words don't mean as much as in actions. But they express their gratitude towards you for what you did for them. If we believe in Romans 8:28, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, for we know all things work together for good. If we really believe that, how can you not be thankful? Do we really know that all things work together for good? You're driving down a road, it's pouring down rain, lightning, thunder, You're late for a very important appointment. You get a flat. Are you thankful? You go out, standing in the rain, you open the trunk and the spare is flat. Are you thankful yet? It's hard to be thankful for all things. But see, what you don't know, God knows the end from the beginning. 10 minutes down the road, there was a horrible accident that you would have been in. You don't know what was down the road. God does. Sometimes you don't know that God's preserved you, saved you, kept you safe. And if he says all things work together for good, then we can believe him. All things work together for good. Now, I've heard people say all kinds of things, and I understand what they're saying, but I believe all things work together for good. God works it in us to bless us, to try us, to test us, but it's all good. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." There's a difference in saying thank you and being thankful. There's a huge difference. Being thankful is in your heart. And we know that out of the heart flow the issues of life. What's in our heart comes out. And if we're really thankful, it's going to come out naturally. We're not going to have to force it. We're not going to have to pretend. It comes out automatically because it's in our heart. Don't just say thank you. Muster up that true feeling of attitude of gratitude and say thank you from your heart. We ought to be thankful for our health. We all have issues. I've been praying for your pastor faithfully. He's on my mind all the time. Brother Bourne down in Florida. My heart goes out to him. Been praying for him. But you know, not to make light of it in any way, they still have some health. They can still get around some. There's people who are full-blown dementia. They don't know anything. They're laying in a bed. All we have to do sometime is think of some people that we know when we start grumbling about our aches and pains and then realize that really we still have something to be thankful for. I had a member up at Jackson. She had juvenile diabetes. She had to have some toes amputated, and then it went from her toes to her foot, and then they ended up having to take off her leg all the way up to her hip. I went to Ann Arbor to visit her, and the week before she was so discouraged and so depressed. I mean, what do you say to someone? You know, you can't just say, "Yo, cowboy up, you know, get over it." You know, what do you say? I just prayed with her and told her to trust in the Lord, and I went back the next week, and she's sitting out in the hallway in a wheelchair. She had a smile on her face, waved to me, "How you doing, Pastor?" And I immediately thought, what happened? And so I asked her. I said, "Last week you were so discouraged and so down. What happened?" She says, "Well, you know, I was feeling so sorry for myself." And then they wheeled by a veteran, and both of his legs were gone up to his hip. And I thought, I still have one leg. You know, if we want to be thankful, we can be. It's not always easy. We'd rather look at the prosperity of the wicked and complain. Why do they prosper? And I'm serving God and I have to go through all of this. But all things work together for good to those that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. We ought to be thankful for our families, for our homes. A lot of people don't have those kind of homes. They don't have children that are home, safe, healthy. Some of them don't have children that are saved yet. That's a heartache for parents that are saved, to want to see their children saved. And if we have children that are saved, we ought to thank the Lord for that. We ought to be thankful for the finances that we have. You might not be a millionaire, but from my observation, none of you are hurting too bad. You got clothes on your back, nice clothes. Some of you are driving pretty nice cars. I'll let you know after I check your cell phones to see if you got the latest one or not. But you're doing okay. You ought to be thankful for that. There's people that don't have any of that. And, you know, I don't want to just say we have to compare to other people, but just be thankful for what you have, what God's given you. He daily has loaded you with benefits. So we ought to be thankful for what we have. How does that affect our worship to God? Well, if we can't be thankful for the tangible things in our life, we ought to be thankful for the spiritual things. I already mentioned a little bit, but I'm thankful for my Savior. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can read in His book what He's done, what He's promised, and I can know that I can expect those promises. Not the ones that's not meant for me, but the ones that's meant for me. He fulfilled the other promises. I have no doubt He'll fill these. He'll bless me. He'll keep me. He'll put His guardian angel over me to protect me. I can have confidence in my Savior. I ought to be thankful for Him. I ought to be thankful for the salvation that I've got. I'm saved and going to heaven. I don't deserve it. Didn't do anything for it. Can't keep it. Jesus gave it for me. Purchased it for me. Keeps it for me. I'm in His hand. He's in the Father's hand, and no man can put me out. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not height, depth, principalities, powers, things to come, things present. Nothing. Can't bring it up right now, but there's nothing that can happen that can separate me from God. I'm saved, saved, saved. Saved forevermore. I'm saved. Never have to fear about dying and answering for my own sins in hell. I'm thankful for the Comforter. Jesus, when He left, He says, I'm going to send you another. John chapter 14, that another speaks of one like unto me. I believe it's speaking of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to send another, and He'll be with you, and He'll guide you and direct you and show you all things, whatever I've taught you. We've got the Comforter. He comes alongside in times of trial, times of pain, times of hurt. He's always with us. He takes up residence in us. Matter of fact, we need to be aware that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Where we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He never leaves us. What we do, what we say, what we think, the Holy Spirit is always there. He's in our bodies, and He's there for us. We ought to be thankful for our anchor, our salvation. We ought to be thankful for our church. And I'm talking a serious thing here. There's churches that are falling away all the time. Some of them are falling away from the truth. Some of them are falling away for lack of membership. I don't know why. People are searching for something better, something more fun, something exciting. I don't know. It's a new way to worship. They want to get something that makes them tingle. And sound churches that stood for the truth, just like this church, for years and years and years, are falling apart, disbanding. You've got a church that's sound, that loves the Lord, that's standing for the truth, fighting for the truth, defending the faith. You ought to be thankful. Because believe me, it's not as many as you think. There's more and more and more of them that are giving in to the world and giving in to the temptation to be popular, to go along, to get along. Well, let's just go along with them. We don't have to really believe it, but let's just go along with that and get along with them. No, don't. Don't go along with them. Be thankful that you've got a pastor that stands for the truth. He didn't pay me to say that, by the way. He did buy me dinner, but... But if you got a pastor that will fight for the truth, you ought to be thankful. You got a church that defends the faith, you ought to be thankful. And I'm afraid we're not as much as we ought to. You know the old saying, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. I told somebody in our church one time, I said, you know, you're not going to miss the church until it's not here. And then all of a sudden you don't have a place to take your children for they'll hear the truth. And you'll miss the church. You'll wish you had a skipped little league and brought your kids to church. Amen. Be thankful for your church. Thankful that God given you a church and put you in the church. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't. The Lord adds to the church. He doesn't add everybody, but he saw fit to add you. He saw fit to add me to my church. I'm thankful for that. I'm not saying there's nobody else saved out there. I'm not saying that at all. But they're not in the Lord's church. They're not part of the Lord's bride. They're not going to have that closest proximity with the Lord. Don't you want to be close to the Lord in eternity? Just like the bride is closest to her husband. I know a lot of women, my mom, my sister, my daughters, good friends, but I don't know them like I knew my wife. That was a particular, special kind of love. And that's the way the Lord loves his bride, I think, his church. Not everybody's in the bride. Be thankful for that. These are intangible. You can't hold on to them, but they're there. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful because we're commanded to be thankful always for all things. We ought to be thankful for the abundance and the daily benefits that the Lord's poured upon us. We ought to be thankful because it is a testimony to our Savior, and it is like a sweet savor to him. It's like worshiping him because we're thankful. And he receives it as worship. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All day long, bless the Lord. Be thankful. Pastor.